Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we chat to the most interesting people doing the most interesting things. I'm joined today by Raz Arnold. Welcome to the podcast, Raz.
Hi, Fazan. Nice to meet you and thanks for having me.
Awesome. Now, we know you as at Label Sessions as a creative designer, illustrator, and brand builder. Could you share a bit of an intro with us to you, your work, and your backstory? What's gotten you to this point in your career?
Okay. I think like from an educational point of view, I started with a background in visual communication, so graphic design degree, and I majored in illustration way back then. Initially tried to pursue that, but I kind of moved more towards graphic design over the years, worked at a few agencies, and I spent a little bit of time in corporate. So most of my role was generally in the marketing team doing graphic design work over the years until I reached a certain point where I started my own freelance business. And once I started my freelance business, I also simultaneously began helping my father with the family business. He's in publishing. So he was originally an electrical engineer. And using my skills, we kind of took the content that he's had over the years and turned them into educational textbooks. So that's kind of a side of me that has been quite a large part of my career and my life at this point. So like I always say, I'm kind of split down the middle where I spend a lot of time running my own business, being a graphic designer, helping clients where I can. But a lot of my time is also spent running the publication house where we work with the education department, creating various content for the engineering sector within South Africa. So I think that's a little bit of my backstory, but I think the goal now for me is trying to bring those two areas together to kind of take the education elements that I've learned over the years and kind of bring in design education. So that's kind of where my heart is kind of landing at this point. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Amazing. That's so very cool that you've been able to do that with your dad, like take all of his engineering expertise and translate that into something combined with your skills. That's such a nice sort of family thing to do. Then sort of what's keeping you busy right now?
So I think if I look at where my career is at this point, I do feel like I'm kind of like starting a new journey or a new chapter within my career. Like I said, I've spent the last 10 years working for others as a graphic designer. And within those 10 years, I've also helped my dad quite a bit with the publishing side. But I think this new chapter for me is, which is taking a lot of my time now, is trying to build a platform for myself in terms of design education. So I think during COVID, this whole thing kind of started where our company, Delandro, which is the publishing side, kind of had a little bit of a struggle because colleges were closing. And a lot of our textbooks and content couldn't reach the consumer. And that's where I had the idea of kind of starting an academy online with the engineers at that point in time. Unfortunately, it didn't really pan out the way that I liked, but it gave me a lot of experience in terms of building a platform, online platform for students. And I think what takes a lot of my time now is trying to take that old content that we've created all those years ago and try and create more design or creative content that I can use moving forward to design my own platform and create online education that I think would be very helpful to the South African market firstly. And then once I've figured that out, take it globally as best as I can. So that's currently what takes a lot of my time.
I can imagine. And any of the sort of sort of brands or things that you've worked with in the past that are influencing you a little bit on this journey?
I don't necessarily think that the ones that are influencing me is the ones that I've worked with. I've ever worked with a few brands in the past or studios in the past that I think are doing really good work, especially the ones that work with maybe within the sports and gaming industry, because those are the industries that I find myself gravitating towards quite a lot, especially like in my personal life, like growing up playing sports and gaming a bit. But yeah, I think I've had quite a little bit of experience in there working on like LucasArts projects and stuff like that. But in terms of areas or brands that influence me a lot, I think of brands like The Future Academy, and I think of brands like Simon Sinek specifically. So I haven't necessarily worked with those brands, but I do find myself being influenced quite a lot. And currently, where I see myself being influenced the most is I look at what James Martin is doing in the online design education space in the UK, and I think he's doing a good job. And I think there's a lot of opportunity within South Africa to actually replicate what he's trying to do and see if I can make it more accessible for those around me.
Awesome. That's very cool. And then in terms of from a design perspective and where we're going creatively, what are you excited about right now? Do you think there are new opportunities emerging or challenges that will be important for your work?
I think I thought about this question quite a lot. I mean, it comes up a lot when I speak to my friends or peers that are working out there. I think a lot of things, it's a topic that's probably been brought up quite a lot, is AI. But I mean, I think there's a lot of concerns around it, specific from a design point of view and in the art community. I personally feel that I do see AI as a tool specifically, not necessarily being negative or positive. It's just a tool that helps us progress further. So I do think it's majority more positive. But I do think, like in all cases, when technology comes around, laws and ethics of how that technology is used is always lagging a little bit behind. And sure. I think that's currently the biggest concern within the art and design space at this point in time. And I think within the design education's point of time, design education space, I think the exciting thing there is the shift from traditional education to online and e-learning. So that's something I'm very interested about at this point in time as well. But yeah, if I look at those two things within my industries, those are probably the two things that I'm trying to keep an eye on the most to see where it takes us.
I mean, specifically when it comes to AI, what do you think the conversations people should be having right now when it comes to AI and design, AI sustainability? And what does that make you feel as a designer?
So I've had this conversation with a friend recently, and I think the issue around, in specifically within the design community, design and art community, where I find myself being more focused on, is this negative impact that it kind of initially brought in when programs like Midjourney or DALL-E came around, and you have Stable Diffusion scraping the internet. So you have a lot of these negative concepts. And me personally, I do think that the way that the tool was initially used could have been done a little bit better. Because I do believe there is a way about going about it. Because if you look at the Stable Diffusion model, they literally just take in what is online and scraping that information and then recreating it within the AI platforms. But I do think the right way or the ethical way that they should have gone about doing it was maybe getting a group of illustrators or artists or designers or create a pool of creatives and compensate them in some way or another and get the permission to use their art or their design and use that to learn, use that for the machinery to learn. I think that was the first initial mistake that brought about this negative wave towards AI, specifically with art and design community. But I think after a while, once law finds its way, I think there's a couple of cases that is going on that, especially in the US, that's happening right now, where I do think AI law is catching up with the technology a little bit. It might take a couple of more years, but I do think we're moving in the right direction, and I do hopefully think that it'll be a positive impact. because from me personally, I can see the benefits of AI within design, especially in the tools we use. It helps us, our workflows speed up, our turnaround times decrease. So from a design perspective, it does help a lot. But I think my question there is like, how is that going to impact the human element within design? And I think that's a fear that most of us have. But I do think there will always be a place for human designers. It's just about how do we work with AI moving forward, which I think is the main question.
100%. And then are there any important sort of customer trends you're seeing? So I know obviously in design, we've seen this real big move towards accessible design and those sort of things. So what are the big trends you're seeing from your clients and customers?
I think something that's interesting, I mean, even if I use myself personally as a consumer of design as well, I think another customer trend that's been going on for quite a while now, but it's more prevalent now in this online community that we have is personal branding. So I see a lot more brands. I mean, if you think of generally like your Elon Musk's or your Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg, which is doing quite a lot right now. I think in the business and tech industry, they're spending a lot more time working on their personal brands, trying to move things forward. And I think in the design community, if I look at who I'm attracted to the most from a personal brand point of view, I look at Christo and what he's doing with the future and what the academy is doing out there. So I think personal branding is becoming quite prevalent, where companies are focusing quite a bit on having a member in leadership take on a role and speaking to the public a bit more. So I do see that quite a bit, and I think it's quite interesting to see what's going to happen moving forward. But I think there's so much elements that actually that adds to that topic specifically. I mean, you can look at many different examples. I mean, like if you look at in South Africa, you have so much issues around unemployment, for example. So if I just touch on this example quickly, I always had this idea that within education, we don't necessarily train our students to access the real world or equip them with the correct tools moving forward. So we kind of upskilling them or educating them in a way that they developing their skills. But once their skills, they have the skills, the market or the labor force isn't necessarily having enough opportunities for them. So once a student graduates, he has all the skills, but there's no place for him to go. So I feel like there's a big gap in that market where we actually need to educate our students how to be more entrepreneurial, how to be more impactful from their point of view, and try and build a generation moving forward that can actually create their own opportunities. And I think that's important because with AI, with the way that the world's moving, people need to learn to build their own personal brand with their own skill and kind of move forward in a way that they can find opportunities for themselves. Because I do feel like even though we always say every market is saturated, I do believe that there's a lot of that. And with AI coming in, with automation happening, there's a lot of jobs that might be impacted, which we've already seen, especially like in the machinery with regards to car manufacturing, and that's going to impact design, for example. So I do think with all of those things, jobs might be a big concern. And specifically within South Africa, we really have a massive concern with unemployment. So I do think that there needs to be something with regards to youth education, especially to help them to build a more business mindset or entrepreneurial mindset to help them find and create their own opportunities moving forward. Yeah.
And then speaking of South Africa, and this is maybe a bit of a left field question, are we seeing things happen here in South Africa that is bucking the trend a little bit when it comes to the rest of the world? Because we're an emerging market, because we sort of, you know, where creativity is going and what we're seeing. Do you see anything that's coming out of South Africa that's slightly different to the rest of the world?
I feel like that's a loaded question, depending on how you look at it. I think if you speak purely creative and design education and what's coming out of here, I do feel like for a long time, even before I've studied, I've always seen agencies around South Africa produce really high quality work internationally. Having said that, I do think from an educational point of view, there was a really good base or foundation put in place where the skills that the students were learning were at a high standard. But I do feel that, like I say, it's a loaded question because there's a lot that you can unfold from that question. So like, for example, we are a third world country or an emerging market, and there's a lot of aspects that impact that. So for example, we speak about generally, if I look at from the one side, I'm speaking from a design point of view, but from the publishing and education point of view, where we work with engineering, there's a whole market of students that are not access, that doesn't have access to a lot of types of learning material. They don't have access to online education from the rural areas, from the underdeveloped areas. So I do think there's a lot of good coming out of South Africa within certain sectors. But I do think there's a lot more that we need to do in order to get to where we see the standard of the world is. I do think we produce good work. But like I said, there's a lot more that needs to be done in order to set a certain standard of what we want our education to look like and how accessible we want it to be to the broader community of South Africa. And I think that will solve a lot of problems in terms of like what we spoke earlier about the unemployment rate and all of that. So I do think there's quite a lot we need to do. And I think there's a lot we can learn from first world countries, and we can adopt a lot of those markets. Because I do think we are able to adapt a lot faster in a third world country, because we are able to take new ideas from them and implement it, learn from their mistakes, learn from what they've done. And I think, yeah, I think there's a lot. There's a lot that we need to do within that question. So hopefully we do make those decisions moving forward. And I hope that I can potentially impact that with what I plan to do over the next couple of years. But awesome. We'll see where that takes us.
And then, you know, thinking of just going back to sort of leadership and the industries that you've worked in and what you've seen, what are the questions that leaders should be asking themselves right now? And what are the shifts they should be making in their thinking when it comes to either sort of the way they think about design or the way they think about brand? What really should they be looking at and considering?
I think when I think about a lot of things and I look at my experience, specifically around South Africa, if I want to answer that question from a global scale, within the design industry, I do think there's a good shift to impacting a new generation of designers. I think it all starts with the next generation. So I know a lot of these questions are based on the design community as a whole, but I think most of these industries always starts and goes back to the educational base. So I do think globally, I'm seeing quite a lot happen, which is a good thing, especially with the whole, when COVID happened, there was a whole boost of people going online to social media, creating opportunities for themselves with the rise of TikTok, YouTube, all of that. So I think there's a lot of positivity in terms of what's happening in the design community with regards to design and online education. So I'm hoping that will have a ripple effect in terms of how the design community and the design education evolves over the years. So I think one of the issues I've had with education in general, especially with institutions like the large institutions, if you look at what's happened in the US with the rise of educational costs and all of that. So there is a massive trend with traditional education kind of like declining and e-learning moving up. So I don't know if that's there's a large part of that that's because of COVID and a lot of things moving online. But I think leaders need to look at that and see how we can make things more accessible for the next generation. So hopefully that is something they are doing, because I do see, from what I've seen, I do see the online space booming quite a lot. I actually checked a stat a while ago where they were explaining the global market of education being something like 10 trillion, and in the US it's like 1.3 billion. And then they looked at that figure and they were basically like, traditional education was about 850 and online education was about 250 billion. And then they did some type of stat where they looked at the decrease of annually, this is per annum, how traditional education was dropping by about, I think it was about 40 or 50 billion every year. And e-learning was increasing by about 40 billion a year. So you can see they're losing the traditional space quite a bit compared to where it's gaining. And I do think that's the way we're moving forward. I think leaders within the space need to look at that and look for opportunities of how we can actually optimize that perhaps, or how we can take that and make it more accessible to the masses. But I do see quite a lot of things happening and it's quite positive. But I think if I look at myself from my experience, that's something that I would like to get more involved in. So how can I learn from what's happening out there and bring it to home soil?
Awesome. And then kind of thinking of you as a leader, what is it that makes you tick? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
So what gets me bed out of the morning? I think a lot of these things, when I had this conversation with somebody before, and a lot of the things comes to education. But I think what gets me up in the morning is every day I'm the type of individual that likes to create side projects or passion projects. So I can't necessarily sit down and do nothing for a long period of time. So I think what gets me up in the morning is always looking for opportunities within my space or within my industry or within my set skills of what can I create to learn something new for the next day, or what can I create that will have impact on the next person. I think it all starts like, what do I enjoy doing firstly? So for me, I enjoy consuming various forms of storytelling perhaps. So whether it be films, whether it be gaming, whether it be brand stories, those are all type of things that I enjoy. So I was kind of like looking for ways that that I can kind of like tell a story or find a way that I could create some type of product that I could create. So this is where this whole idea of, you're asking like what gets me up in the morning. I kind of created like a side project where I've never created a comic book before. So that's something that I wanted to try and document that whole journey online. So
very cool.
Tried YouTube and kind of like just showed my step as I go along, because there's a lot of areas where I don't actually have a lot of expertise, like children's books or like comic books, for example. But I thought it's a good opportunity to show others that, look, I don't know what I'm doing necessarily in creating a comic book, but I have been in scenarios where I've done storyboarding, when I've done a lot of illustrations. So can I use that skills and actually apply it to comic book and storytelling? And I think that's what wakes me up, is like, how can I use what I already know and learn something new? And that's currently what I'm currently working on, is how can I do a storybook? And then once I'm done with that, how can I take what I've created and actually share with the next person how you can do it? And look, this is how I did it. Might not be the traditional way or the best way of doing it, but this is what worked for me. And I try and package that and teach the next person, I guess. So that's currently the journey that I'm on. And I think within the design space now, I am trying to do that from a branding point of view as well, or visual identity point of view. So I'm trying to go through this process on YouTube where I am improving my skill as a designer, or doing various challenges, and whether it be logo design or brand products or corporate identity, and kind of document it and show people my process, and hopefully in turn people that are watching it learn from that. And yeah, that's kind of what gets me up, is very creating cool things. I like being in my space creating things, and that's kind of what I
love that sort of creating the content around creating content. So you sort of are almost creating the marketing and the brand around it while you're actually doing it. Very cool. how would you want people to describe you and how you make change happen?
I think generally how I'd want people to describe me is, I'd like people to think of me as when they've had an interaction with me, they left with a positive experience, whether it be from a design perspective or from a personal point of view. I do try my best to live a life where I am creating positive impacts around those or within those around me. So, yeah, I think generally that's what I would like. If somebody would think of me, they'd be like, okay, I left Razik or thinking of something positive, or he's had a positive influence, or I've learned this from him, or this is how he did it, and I thought it really worked quite well, and I'd like to implement it. So, yeah. And I think from a design point of view, it's kind of similar. When I work with clients, I don't necessarily, or there'll be a lot of times where clients come to me with a specific problem, and then they'll expect me to just give them, okay, this is the solution. But generally what happens within the process of discussing with the client of what the issue is, it's generally a lot deeper than what they realize. So generally what happens in that process is, okay, this is your problem. So say, for example, a client comes and they want a brand package, or they want you to lay out a brand for them. And then I ask them why, or what's the purpose behind this? But then you find that there is other issues down the sales line, and you kind of, even though I'm a graphic designer mainly, you end up helping them based on your experience on other areas, and you kind of take it away from yourself that the designing comes second, or the brand comes second, because there's a lot of functionality within the business that needs to change. And I kind of realized as I got older, I kind of enjoy that a lot. So I think there's a lot of strategy that I kind of give clients when I'm solving those type of problems for them. But yeah, so I hope, I mean, based on the relationships that I've built over the years, I do hope that, and I do think that it's been positive. So yeah, that's basically how I feel. I hope people leave with a positive experience.
Awesome. And you touched on it a little bit, but do you have a process that you go through when you take on a new project, a new challenge?
I think what I try to be is I try to be quite open-minded when I take on, because I've worked with quite a range of different type of clients as I go about. But I think in life generally, I try to be open-minded and not stick to a specific process. However, ironically, I do find myself being a very to-the-box type of person. Or I try to be open-minded when it comes to other people, because I try to look at life through different perspectives. I don't try to apply my perspective on other people's experiences. But with my own life, I have kind of built a life where it is kind of within certain boundaries. So I like have my fun within that boundaries. Yeah, I don't know if that answers the question, but
that's great. And I think it's you know, you kind of go with what fits the project rather than sort of having a standard.
Yeah. So I do try to stick to my values and models, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do try to be as open-minded as possible when it comes to others.
Fantastic. And then in terms of when you look at the industries you've worked in, the wider world, where do you see the opportunities to really reinvent the way things are done cropping up?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a quite interesting question. I think we're all trying to find ways of doing things in a unique way, or a better way, let's say, to make it more simple. But I think reinvention, it's quite a tough question, in the sense of me myself. I think if I think of my own experience, I think there's a lot of good out there that's already happening. It's just about applying that good to the world. I mean, a lot of us always think put ourselves first. We don't necessarily put the next person there with us. So I think by answering that question, I'm actually disagreeing with the question, where I don't necessarily always believe. I think before we can reinvent something, we first need to fix the foundation of what we currently have. And I think there's a lot of good, especially like, I mean, we're always going to go back. You're asking me questions, and I'm assuming you want in a global response, but I always look at it from my homegrown experience. And I think like if I look in South Africa, there's so much good in this country and there's so much that we can achieve. But the question is, why are we not? And where is that coming from? And everybody has their own opinion of how things should be done. But if we want to reinvent the country or move the country forward, I think there's a lot of simple and basic solutions that could be put in place before we think of reinventing the wheel. I think globally as well, I think there's a lot of solutions, simple solutions to a lot of global issues where we could just put something simple in place and solve the problem that way. But I think it's also hard because it's a lot of different perspectives. There is so much people on the planet, so much people in a country. And I think that's where most of the issues arise. So I know I'm not necessarily answering your question, but that's how I feel. I think before we do reinvention, we first need to look at what we have and kind of solve that before we can move forward. It's like before you break the rules, master it first, kind of. That's the analogy that kind of comes to mind.
100%. Yeah, it's the art school rule, right? Before you can have your own style, exactly. You have to study all the other ones. Awesome. So exactly. we're on to the favorite part of the podcast for me, which is the quick fire questions. And the first one is, could your friends explain what you do?
I think yes. Because I'm split down, like I said, I'm split down the middle. I think from a graphic design point of view, a lot of my friends can explain, if not all, what I do. But I think from the publishing side of view, most of them could as well. And I also think the closer you are within my circle, the more you'll know, generally. So the closer the friend is, the more they'd be able to be more accurate with regards to what I do on a day-to-day.
Awesome. And how would you like them to describe that?
I think, like I say, there's two sections to it. So I think if we're speaking from a graphic design point of view, I do think the general description would be fine. I think if they can explain that Razi goes about the world helping brands and companies redefine themselves through visual identity or various design elements or illustration, then that's what he does. And I hope that they see it in a way that I'm actually telling stories through various design services that I offer, because that's how I like to look at it. I like to look at clients coming to me with a specific problem or specific story of their company, and how can I take that story and make it visual. And I hope that's how people will describe it. I can't say what they would describe it as, but I'd like to think that that's what people would describe it as.
Awesome. And then what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice? Oh, there's so many. I do have a story about somebody that I followed a lot. So everybody knows Simon Sinek online. Great thought leader. And there was a story that he said that stuck with me hit home, let's say. So he has this donut story, or it's a bagel story. And it's not necessarily advice, but I kind of took it in a way that I apply it to my life as advice. And I kind of give this as advice to people that ask me for advice. So he speaks about he went running with a friend, and they came across this tent where they were handing out bagels, and there was a long line. So Simon stood at the back of the line, and his friend just went to the front of the line and just put his hand through the group and grabbed the bagel. And kind of just, it's like, here's the bagel. And what he was trying, the analogy behind that, or what he was trying to explain is that his friend was, yes, he might have been seen as breaking a rule, but he wasn't inconveniencing anybody. Everybody was just standing in the line and kind of doing what they need to do until they get to the front. But he wasn't inconveniencing, he literally just put his hand in and got a bagel. So the way I interpreted that is, especially like from a business point of view, because I have a lot of clients that I've worked with, a lot of people starting up, or they're small to medium business, and they're always trying to figure things out, and they always have questions around, am I doing this right? Have you been in this situation before? And I think the advice that I usually give people is, when you're running a business, the only rule that really matters is, firstly, don't break the law. And that's kind of the only rule. Don't inconvenience the next person or anything along those lines. And a lot of leaders within business are also figuring things out. You look at some of these great leaders and you're like, oh, they know everything because they got so far. But I'm sure if you fly on the wall, you'll notice that they also have all that anxieties of what's going to happen the next day, what am I going to do next. And I think a lot of people, we look at people online and we think they have it all figured out. But what I've learned from the conversations in over my years is that a lot of people are figuring it out. A lot of people don't really know what they're doing. So I try to be very transparent with that. And I do what I think works best for me. Might not work for you. But as long as you are not inconveniencing the next person, then just go ahead and give it a try. And if it doesn't work, you just pick yourself up and you go on to the next thing. So that's kind of what stuck with me from that bagel analogy. Yeah. And I kind of apply it to all aspects of my life, especially business, funny enough. So I'm running two businesses and people always, I mean, I've studied a bit and I look at what traditionally you taught. And then when you apply it in business, you're like, it hasn't always worked that way. So you kind of need to critically think about the scenario you're in or the situation you're in and just do what works best for you. And I think the rest will fall into place. Yeah.
Fantastic. And then what could you not live without?
What could I not live without? I think there's two things. So from a mental point of view, I shouldn't have said mental point of view. but what I could not live without is my wife at this point in time. I think I look at the life that I've built, I take on a lot. And I've always told her, sometimes I feel it's best to take on more than I can handle, because in those precious situations, I learn. And I think what she's brought into my life is a lot of calm and peace, especially from a mindset point of view, because I always felt like I have so much ideas and thoughts and things that I want to do. And she always just brings me back to like, okay, this is what you want to do. But I think also like from values and morals point of view, she's one of the only people I've ever met that thinks the way I think, from that point of view, even though there might be a lot of similarities to others. But she's one of the first people that actually hit it home with certain beliefs that I have. And I think that gave me a lot more confidence to know that, okay, there is somebody else there in the world that thinks the way I think. And then I think, other than her, funny enough, is my office or my space, wherever I'm working. I can't live without a space to sit down and create. My wife does call me like a homebody. Like, I love being at home and just leave me in my room and I'll do things, or I'll make things, or I'll be drawing, or I'll be working on projects or something. So it doesn't necessarily need to be an office. It could be a desk or whatever, but I need a space where I can actually just be me and work on things that I want to work on. So I call that my free time. So yeah, I think I can't live without that. I think
that would be a
tough one for me if I don't get a little bit of space to create certain things. Yeah.
That's very sweet. And I hope your wife listens to this so she can hear that. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
1 being not weird and 10 being very weird?
Yeah. Or the weird
probably
being a good thing.
Probably a 1, I guess. Yeah.
A 1?
I think I'm probably a 1. I don't think I'm weird at all. I don't know. I feel like I'm very textbook in a lot of areas of my life.
Yeah.
But it's also perspective. Like, I think if you look at it from a brand point of view, I mean, if you go back to branding, we all think that, okay, if I think of my personal brand, this is who I am. This is the first time you meeting me and you have a perception of who I am based on what my experience is and how I'm interacting with you. But my wife might have a completely different perspective, and a friend of mine might have a completely different. For her, I might be weird, but for the next person, I might not be. But I think me personally, generally, when I'm out there in the world, I adapt to different environments. I don't necessarily think I'm a weirdo or weird. I think the first question would be, what define the definition of weird, perhaps, and before answering that question. But yeah, I think generally I'm pretty calm and chill, depending on the environment. Obviously, in my inner circle, I can be crazy and be wild and stuff. But I think generally, I'm pretty calm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Raz, for joining us today. This has been really insightful and really glad we got the time to chat today. Any last words to share? Last words of wisdom?
I think if I think of myself, okay, maybe for last words, maybe we can do advice to myself firstly, because if I'm speaking to myself right now, I think one of the things that I'd like to tell myself is don't stop learning. I think every day we have the gift of life, and we need to take that opportunity to improve those around us or have a positive impact for those around us. And we all do that in our own way, and I'm trying to do that in the best way I see fit currently. It might take me a while, but I have a plan and I have an idea of what I want to do. And I hope everybody in this world can find that goal for themselves. And yeah, I think just don't stop trying to find who you are and what you want to do. And once you reach it, just don't stop. Don't give up on it.
Don't stop. Fantastic. That's really great and very well put. Thank you again, Raz. It's been really great having you on today. And we look forward to a great relationship with you here with Label Sessions.
Thanks so much. I'm very interested to see where this relationship can go. But yeah, I'm very excited. And thank you again for having me.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.